it's work. And I think people think that a perfect relationship is not work, but it is, but it's effort. When you find the person that you want to be with, it's effort that you want to make.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that gives me chills. And I know that if Mike was still here, this would have been your person for the rest of your entire life.
Yeah.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of She Is Leveling Up. Today, we're going to talk about what it's like to lose the love of your life. My guest is one of the most inspiring women I have met. She has endured more pain and loss than anyone I know, yet she continues to find ways to thrive and level up through hard times. And as a divorce coach and leader, she's helping thousands of people in her community to do the same. Please help me welcome Cindy Stivard. Cindy is a compassionate leader, coach, and devoted single mother of two teenagers. She is the visionary force behind The Strength to Thrive. Her own journey through a high-conflict divorce, followed by the sudden loss of her post-divorce partner, sparked a profound transformation in her life. Cindy is on a mission to change how we navigate relationships, starting with changing the relationship we have with ourselves. She's passionate about empowering others to thrive in love and loss and eradicate the stigma surrounding divorce by fostering a culture of unapologetic understanding, empathy, and personal growth. Cindy!
Ah!
I'm so excited that you're here.
I know, me too. Well, the studio, congratulations.
Thank you. You're my first guest in studio.
I love it.
This is so special.
It really is. I like in-person podcast.
I know.
Are we coming back?
You know? Yeah, we're back.
I know.
And, you know, for those of you who are tuning in, I got to tell you, Cindy is my neighbor, or was my neighbor. Yeah. She's no longer my neighbor. However, she's become a friend. And what I love about Cindy is that she always tells me exactly what she's thinking, how she's feeling. And she'll give me sometimes unsolicited advice, but it's always the right advice. And I'm so grateful because you've helped me through some really, really hard times in my life, you know, in particular my divorce. And I'm just so grateful that you're here to have this conversation today and a really candid, vulnerable conversation about what you have done the last, is it 9 months?
Yeah, it's 9 months coming up on the 1st.
Yeah. And so I just want to jump in because the story is, Cindy, you had a pretty tumultuous marriage, mm-hmm. and you left that, but then you found the love of your life, mm-hmm. and you were with him for 5 years, and he was my neighbor.
Yeah.
And then he very suddenly passed, and
yeah,
I mean, that day will forever be emblazoned in my mind as a hard day, but I cannot imagine what that day was like for you. Take me back to that moment.
Yeah. You know, it's feels like a lifetime ago now. It's amazing how much can change in such a short time. It's actually going to be 10 months, actually, on April 1st. And so coming up a year, so much can happen in such a short time. And, you know, my marriage and my relationship of 22 years, I wouldn't say was necessarily tumultuous, but it was empty, you know, emotionally void. I had everything a woman could possibly want. It was affluent. I didn't have to work. You know, there was no worrying about the cost of grapes. We lived in West Vancouver, like a really, you know, everything you could think you wanted until you realize that there's only so many things and material gain you can have that doesn't equate to that emotional peace. You know, and unfortunately, and fortunately, I guess, is that Mike and I had discovered each other while we were both still married and, you know, committed the ultimate sin, you know, leaving a marriage for someone else. It's never a way that anyone wants to do it, but it's what we did. You know, I never imagined myself ever taking that path in that way. But he ended up to be my person. You know, and it was not an easy path because that is like ultimate social suicide for both of us. You know, there's this massive death of, you know, your marriage as it was, you know, divorce is a death because everything in that has changed. You lose the relationship that you had. You lose the future that you were planning, even if you choose it. You know, you're still having to grieve that loss. And you're grieving everything that never happened, you know, in a relationship. And then when Mike and I found each other, it was hard for us to put down roots, although we knew that's what we wanted. And so we were going to stay true to that feeling. And when you find someone that you're emotionally connected to that way, it's like nothing else on the outside matters.
Yeah.
You know?
I know you talk about this empty relationship with your ex. Like, you had everything. You had everything that we all think we want, right? But then you actually found what we all really need, and that's connection and love and passion. And I still have memories of you guys. Like, I would see you from my kitchen window leaving Mike's place hand in hand, snuggled up to one another, walking the dog. And the energy and the love and the happiness, I mean, I could feel it from my kitchen window half a block away. Like, it was beautiful. And it was like goals. Like, those are my couple goals right there.
And I, you know, it's one of those things where I was always told in my marriage, like, what you're looking for, that connection doesn't exist. Like, you should be grateful for what you have. And then, you know, when you know in yourself, there's more. I know it. There's more out there. And then when you find it, it's like, it doesn't matter what you have, even what you're going through, when you are with the right person, you know that you'll be able to get through anything.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, how we really felt with each other. And we were doing life different. Like, I think when you leave a marriage, you can really easily get swayed into repeating the same patterns, falling into a married-like relationship again, moving in, doing all the same things that we did the first time, just with a different person. And the two of us were really committed to, we weren't going to do it that way. We were going to live apart, because that to us was our way that we could both invest into our own kids when we had them, as well as then come back together and not get that intertwined with that sort of married-like relationship where, you know, if I came over and his kitchen was a mess and I didn't like it that way, I couldn't get resentful because it's your kitchen, love.
Exactly.
Like, it's all of those things. You don't pick up your socks? Well, it's not a problem. It's your house.
I love that.
So it's like you're already removing all of those little nitpicky idiosyncrasies so that you could really just focus on your relationship.
And you guys did that. You told me that you actually continue to work and heal, both of you, in the relationship.
Oh, yeah. Like, the way that we started is nowhere where we ended up at the end. Like, we both were doing individual therapy, and we also both did couples therapy with two different therapists throughout our 5.5 years, because we knew that this was, you know, we want to make this work. We don't want to go in here when there's already trouble. We both left marriages, and even though we were the ones who left, we knew that we also had a role to play. And so we wanted to make sure that we weren't going to repeat those patterns. And so it's work. And I think people think that a perfect relationship is not work, but it is, but it's effort. When you find the person that you want to be with, it's effort that you want to make.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that gives me chills. And I know that if Mike was still here, this would have been your person for the rest of your entire life.
Yeah.
And this is what is so heartbreaking for me, because I cannot imagine losing the love of my life.
No, and that day was a complete shock. Like, I don't even know how to describe what it's like, but it was almost like, you know, when people say you feel like you're in a bad dream and you just want to wake up. And I'd always known that concept, never knew how that actually felt. That day I knew how that felt. I was literally waiting for myself to wake up, pinching myself, thinking this can't be happening. And, you know, when he was going through the process, like, I found him. We were going on a trip that morning. I had in the back of my mind, when he wasn't answering his text in the morning, that something was up. And so it was weird that there was almost this intuitive flash of, like, go, you need to go over there. So I quickly, you know, got my stuff together and went over earlier than I thought. I initially thought logically in my head that he had just slept in. He's not answering my texts. You're not answering my phone calls. I'm picking him up in less than an hour to go to the airport. He must have slept in. Oh my God, I better go wake him up. He's going to be so pissed that he slept in, you know? And then there was a flash in the back of my mind that there's something wrong. And so it was like that, you know, the intuition was telling me, go now. And so when I went and I found him, I got on the phone to 911. I had to start resuscitating him. The emergency was walking me through like how to do CPR, how to do chest compressions. And I mean, I felt so alone and shocked, and it felt like forever until the emergency crew got there. Like, I did not know what I was doing. I didn't know how to save him. I knew, though, he was already gone. You know, by the time I got there, I could see it in his eyes and the way that his, you know, body looked at me, that his spirit was already leaving. But I, you know, in that moment, you're doing everything you can to change things. And even when the emergency crew got there, in my mind, I thought, oh crap, okay, well, this is a setback. Like, we're just going to be in the hospital. We're going to have to cancel the show, cancel our trip. You know, I hope he's going to be okay, but he's just going to be in the hospital for a while, thinking this, right? Because you're going into logical mode, like, this isn't over. They're gonna, you know, get his heart going again. This is going to be, you know, a situation that we're going to be in for some time, but we'll get through it.
Yeah.
And so you don't really realize the reality of what that could be, because you don't think worst case scenario in the moment.
No.
You think, oh, okay, this is a setback. It's tragic. It's terrible, but we'll do it. Until they couldn't revive him and they couldn't get his heart restarted. And it probably took, you know, a good hour of them trying. And it was so surreal, because at that moment, you know, everything goes through your mind of like, what now? Like, what do I do? And I'm, you know, calling people, and my friends are just like beside themselves. And my, you know, my friends and my family just showed up in drones. Like, what can we do to help? And what is happening? And it was a day that I remember very vividly, but also it's a very foggy day too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember the small details. I just remember the experience. I remember there just being so much chaos and fluster.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in that moment, you don't know how you're going to react either, because I'd never had anything like that happen to me. I didn't know what I was going to do, how it was going to be. I was just so out of my own mind.
Yeah.
And you're walking around, you know, through the house, and people are there, and the emergency people are there. And it was actually our neighbor, who I was out on the street, and I think I was just in like shell shock. And she comes up to me and she gives me this big hug, and she says, okay, I know that you're, you know, in shock right now, but what you need to do is you need to go back and be with him. You know, be with him and tell him you know, tell him you love him. Tell him all the things that you wanted him to know, because this is your chance.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And honestly, like, that was the best piece of advice, because I just lied with him and I just said it all out. And I think you heard me.
I have a feeling you did. And oh my gosh, I was living across the street and I saw the paramedics come, and like, they're going in the house, they're leaving the house and shaking their heads. And I'm just like, this cannot be happening. And I came out and I gave you a hug and you were shaking like a leaf. And I said, like, I'm going to be there for you. And to think back to that day and to see your face and how, like, this was the biggest shock of your life. And then to watch your journey, Cindy, over the last 10 months, I can't even describe how inspiring it has been. To go back to that moment, thank you for sharing that, because I know that that's incredibly hard, but I wanted to share that because I wanted to paint a picture of how awful, like the worst, 41 years old, beautiful man, inside and out, the love of your life. And then you had to deal with it. And I want to talk about the stages of how you really reinvented yourself after the loss of the person who meant the most to you.
Yeah.
Besides your kids. So walk us through the first week after losing him.
Oh my gosh. Let's go back to the first week. I think, you know, there's nothing that I can imagine would be worse than losing your life partner than losing a child. I mean, to me, that would be the ultimate loss. And then this would be definitely second. But it's like there was this kind of weird emptiness that takes over. Like when we are alive and human, and even if we're not in the same room, in the same place together, you bring an energy, right? Like I know you're alive. And even if I'm not with you all the time, your energy is in this world and we can feel it. When someone passes that's so close to you, there is this void. It's like their energy is gone. And so I could really feel that, like that was all of a sudden disappeared. Like his energy was no longer existent in that way. And even though we lived apart, lots of times we weren't together physically. Yeah. But when you lose them, you can tell it's definitely gone. And there's just this kind of sense of quiet eeriness. I immediately got scared of the dark. So at home, it was weird because I had, you know, was sleeping at home alone, which is not something I didn't do before. But it was just this sense of kind of emptiness, and noises scared me and the dark scared me. And it was a bit strange how it felt. And just this fear of, you know, I think a fear that a lot of people also go through when they go through divorce is my thought of, holy crap, I haven't been single in 30 years. And now I'm like really single, like more than just we've broken up and my ex-husband is still there physically to see them and to interact with them. But there's literally no interaction and connection at all. And when you aren't ready for it, when neither of you are ready for it, then it's completely different. And it was this fear of, I'm facing my worst fear for the first time in my life. Oh. Like I'm facing what it would feel like to be completely on my own and single. And with, oh my God, what does that look like? And I know it might sound like a crazy thought to think, like when someone dies, like, oh my God, I thought I was going to be single. But when you haven't been in that position for 30 years and it's just ripped out from under you and you don't see that person ever again, then it's just such a different fear, you know?
And this is, I feel like this is a universal fear. I can't tell you how many women I speak to that are married, unhappily married. They should come to you. Yeah. And they say, well, I'm going to stay in my marriage because I can't be single.
Right.
I can't be alone.
Yeah.
And I know I felt like that as well at times in my marriage. And so isn't that crazy? Like this is a big fear of ours. And
huge.
You had to face it.
And I think that, you know, immediately when you're still so in love, the last thing you want to do is fill that position with someone else. So I haven't dated since in 10 months, but it's also not something that I felt like I actually did end up needing, you know, because when you're put in this position and now you're navigating the next stages of your life on your own, you know, everything was still the same. My weeks with my kids would be the same. And now my weeks off that were typically with him were now by myself. Yeah. So at first, when someone passes, you're so full with everyone who wants to see you, wants to invite you here, wants to plan things with you there. And so you feel really taken care of. And it wasn't until about, you know, 6 months in, even now 10 months in, when everyone's gone back to their regular life and you're still here living those times all by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, people stop with the, you know, third wheel invites and they come to my family dinner party because it's not like they don't want to. I think they just forget. They go back to their own life. You look like you're doing okay.
Yeah.
You're thriving. So I'm sure you're healing. And I was like that too, though. I mean, I didn't know how to treat someone who lost someone in their life.
Yeah.
I didn't have a clue how that would feel. And now that has just so much awakened me to this level of empathy and compassion for people that you don't understand how it feels until you're in it, like divorce, like loss, until you're actually in those shoes, you really can't comprehend how painful and lonely and scary that can be.
I can't even imagine. So the first week was like, there's a lot of fears, obviously, that were coming up.
Yeah.
Then walk me through, like, let's go to month five. Where were you at month five?
So I think that's just to backtrack a little bit. So it's about month 2-3-ish where, you know, building in this community where you are now, I loved living here, but it's been far for me. My kids live in a totally different, with their dad in a different community. Their school is in a different community. It's a 20-minute drive, you know, there, sometimes double back. So it was taking so much of my life. My life, my friends, my support system is in a different community. And so I initially thought maybe I need to make a move. Mm-hmm. For them, this is my chance to be closer to my kids. How can I make that happen? What does that look like? And in the first couple of months, I think when someone passes, and it's probably very normal for a lot of people, we're desperate to connect. Mm-hmm. So I'm like reaching out to intuitives and psychics and spiritual guides and like reading the books. Like, how do I connect with spirit? Because you are just so desperate to like, show me you're here. Give me a sign. Like, how can I connect? Mm. And within that time, you know, I did learn pretty quickly how to look for signs for him. I did have some incredible mediums who were was able to pretty tap in pretty quickly to, you know, his spirit and telling me things that nobody would know except for him. Mm-hmm. And so when I started to ask him for specific signs, I did ask him for a sign that I should move. Mm-hmm. Like, are you okay with me leaving this community and being closer to my kids? And his angel numbers are 7, as mm-hmm. you know. And so I said, show me in 7s if you'd be okay with this, that this is my next move. Mm-hmm. And it was probably about 2.5 months in. And that same day, I went to the gas station. And as I was leaving the gas station, I pull out and the license plate in front of me was a 777. And so immediately I thought, oh my gosh, that's my sign. And when you're you're new at looking for signs, you doubt it. You're like, oh, that's no sign. That's just a coincidence. But now that I've really learned how to tap into that, you realize, no, that was my sign. And so for the next few months, you know, as I was adapting to him being gone and what life looks like and what my next moves were, I started planning to move closer to where my kids are. And I did. So it took me a few months to move. I moved January. He passed in June, so 6 months. And it was like everything that I had done based on that decision all sort of fell into place in a really eerily, almost universally divine order kind of way.
Yeah.
Just in the way that I ended up selling my house, finding the perfect house right across the street from my kids' school.
The perfect house.
It was like this.
It's so beautiful.
It was like this divine mastermind plan that like Mike made happen.
Yeah.
He knew that was what, where I needed to.
And you sold your house here in a couple days.
Yeah.
And for the price that you needed to buy it. Like unreal. And I think there's something important here in terms of the message, and that is maybe about changing your environment to give yourself a fresh start when you need, you know, to heal. Yeah. Would you say it's helped?
Oh, I think that's helped a lot. Yeah, yeah. Not because, you know, you're running from it, but you're also just refreshing your energy. And, you know, he's come with me and I know it for sure, because when I found the house I'm living in now, I had a dream. And in the dream, he was in every room.
Oh.
It was almost like he was saying, yeah, I'm coming. Here I am. And it doesn't matter where you are because I'll always be with you. And so after that dream, I realized that it doesn't really matter where you are.
Yeah.
It's where you go with this. And the purpose and direction of my life is to serve my kids as much as possible. Yeah. Like, they've got 5 years before they're out of high school. This is really where I'm supposed to be. And if Mike was here, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to even make that move. We wouldn't have moved there together.
Interesting.
You know? And so it was almost like his gift to me.
Yeah,
like,
it's a blessing.
I didn't mean to leave this way, but this is sort of where your next path is. And I do think the environment is huge. It's like when you're sick or you're in an addiction, you're recovering. Yeah. They always say that you cannot heal in the environment that got you sick. You know?
Well, you know, I just recently moved, and my house before this was the house that I had with my husband. And I was so, so sad to leave that house because it was my home in every single way. But I gotta say, there's something energetically different about this house. It feels like a fresh start. The energy is different. It feels like this is my new adventure.
Yeah.
And the slate is clean. and vibrationally it feels clean. Mm-hmm. And so I really understand that and I get that. And I think, you know, for anyone listening right now, maybe, you know, I talk to so many people who are going through a divorce and they're like, should I stay in the house? Should I not stay in the house? Don't be afraid to let go of the house.
Yeah. It's just material.
It's just material. And I was so afraid for 2 years. I was like, I can't leave. This is my home in every single way. And now I wish that I would have left sooner.
Yeah. But I mean, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, everything happens for a reason. And it's all divine timing and it's worked out. But I love that you embrace the change, especially 6 months in.
Today's show is brought to you by Simone Lovell's Total Body Transformation. TBT is a step-by-step program to help you achieve the body and life you deserve. Our clients see huge improvements in mood, energy, hormones, cholesterol, blood sugar, libido, and more, all through a simple yet effective nutrition and exercise program. We don't do calorie restricting or liquid fast. We give you the tools you need to build a foundation of proper nutrition, healthy habits, and a positive mindset to get you healthy for life. For more information, check out SimoneLovell.com.
So now I want to talk about where you are now, because I feel like so much has unlocked for you. The level of strength, I can see it in your eyes. I feel like I've seen you every month since this time. And I feel so blessed to know you and to have seen this transformation in you, because the person that you are now is totally not that person that was shaking like a leaf that day. And you're not that person that you were when you were with Mike. You were amazing when you were with Mike. You were a level of strong that I also never experienced. But now you have up-leveled and transformed in a whole new way. You're way more spiritual, which I love. We've connected on that level.
Yeah.
You are doing something so hard right now. You're training for a body competition,
right? Yeah.
Bodybuilding competition. Mm-hmm. And like I was just saying before this, that you know, I'm a fitness trainer. That is the last thing I'd ever do, because the level of commitment is so freaking hard. But you're doing that. Like, you are pushing yourself in a way that I haven't seen an average person do, but yet you're grieving mm-hmm. and pushing yourself. So, like, what is unlocked for you?
Oh, my gosh. We can go either way with loss and grief, right? We can let it keep us stuck, and we can choose to be the victims of our circumstance. Like, why did this happen to me?
Yeah.
Or we can choose to pivot our pain into purpose. You know, this happened to me, but how can I create a circumstance where this happened for me? And I've never been one to be a victim of anything. You know, like I'm not going to be sitting and feeling sorry for myself, even though it can be really easy to do that. And yeah, don't get me wrong. I've had my days where I'm not coming out of bed and I'm already like down a bottle of wine and just want to cry. You know, like I've had those days. And then you have to pick yourself back up, because like, who do you really want to be? How do you want life to go? Because it really is in our hands. And grieving through this process has been, you know, in a weird way, a gift, because it can choose, a lot of people can choose it to harden you. Like it closes mm-hmm. your heart, it hardens you to, you know, life. But if we look at grief in terms of a gift of how it is the one thing that connects us with every human on this planet, everyone goes through suffering, everyone. And it's what makes us human. And you've gone through suffering, I've gone through suffering, everyone has gone through it. And if we look at that through the eyes of, we're all the same, you're just going through your own level of pain, I get you, on this human level, much deeper than when I haven't been through pain before. Mm. And pain to me is one of the biggest prerequisites to growth.
Yeah.
You know, in order for you to truly change, it's got to hurt enough to propel you to make that change. And this kind of pain or hurt, but it's also like, how do I take him and his spirit and everything we had and make something good of it?
Yeah.
So that he could be proud of me going forward. Mm-hmm. And it almost... I feel like it was given to me for some reason. I don't know why. I wouldn't have wanted this gift of losing him, but I was chosen over his, you know, last life, over someone else. I was chosen to be the person that he was supposed to, you know, experience these incredible 5 years with, turn his life completely around, feel completely loved and seen, and establish his life where he was fully thriving, because maybe I was the one that was going to handle this. I was going to be the one to inspire others and to have it and propel me to a different level of my life.
I believe that. And I believe this was your biggest gift, as horrible as it is. Yeah. I mean, because it's catapulted you onto a whole new level with your personal life and your professional life, and you're helping people in a completely different way.
Yeah, it's opened me up to be empathetic on a level that I have never been. You know, I've always been empathetic and compassionate, but the way it's softened me has, and been able to connect. And now, I mean, I see people's pain and how they are, and I'm like, there's something deeper there that I get. Yeah. Like, whatever that is for you, there's this so much unprocessed hurt. You know, even when it comes to being angry, that's just pain under there.
Yeah,
I get it. Like, there's something. And so it creates, for me anyways, it's just released all judgment of all people and their situations, and just given me so much compassion that everyone is going through something. Mm-hmm. So I get you. We're human. I'm connecting. And when you said it opened me up spiritually, like, I have definitely always been open to that world, but hadn't really found a true reason to connect on that level. Mm-hmm. And this just brought it to the forefront for me. Like, and I think putting in rituals of healing that were different have really helped me see grief as a gift, see the strength in this process, use this to propel me forward and create life. Like, every morning I'm up at 5, I'm meditating, I'm pulling my tarot cards from the good tarot, I'm, you know, listening to The Secret and how, like, my thoughts, my beliefs, my action, Abraham Hicks, like, we are so connected to spirits, we're just human beings on this planet, that's it. And we all have a spiritual connection. And when you start to tap into that and stop worrying about that as woo-woo or weird or, you know, uncomfortable, you realize that there's so much more to this existence than we actually realize. And it gives you a ton of comfort too, to know that there's something else bigger than us here.
So it's almost like you tapped into the spiritual side to, like, connect with Mike, but it actually, if I'm correct, it made you connect deeper to yourself.
Big, huge, big time. Huge. And I think when we connect to spirit, when people want to see a psychic, they want to have that comfort that, like, someone's still there. But I think to me, what it did was it made me see that this isn't it. There is more. Whether you believe in God or spirit or whoever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's the fact that this is not all there is. Mm-hmm. And that although we don't know what that is, we can't see it, it's there. And if you allow yourself to kind of tap into that spiritual connection and surrender to it, it's amazing how that can guide you. And that's really what I've relied on every day is, you know, guide me next. And when you start to practice it, you know, I literally meditate. And when I want an answer to something, I'll ask Mike for a sign, and it never fails. He will give it to me.
Have chills every time you talk about this. And I love that, because sometimes we feel so stuck and that we're so alone in our stuckness. And but if we can tap into that deeper side of ourselves, and, you know, like you said, God, universe, spirit, whatever, and ask for help. And, like, I ask for help, like, with my meal prep.
Like
this morning, I was trying to, you know, get the whole setup here in this podcast room done. And I'm like, oh my God, Cindy's coming at 10. And I was like, please, universe, whoever's out there, just help me make things, like, happen. And happen in a timely way. And, like, sure enough, but then it just allows me to let go and trust.
Yeah.
Right. I think you just said something so interesting there about creating your own destiny and how, and I really love how you wake up at 5. First of all, when someone is grieving, probably the last thing that they're going to want to do is get out of bed at 5. But you've made this commitment to yourself. And I'm always talking to my community about, like, don't break commitments to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
figure out what those commitments are and then keep them. And you've kept this commitment to wake up at 5 to do the work. You are doing hard work meditating, also really hard to do, to sit with your own thoughts when you're grieving.
Yeah.
And you're meditating, you're journaling, you're tapping into spirit. And then you're listening to Abraham Hicks and who else did you mention? I can't remember. But
The Secret.
The Secret. And I love that because I'm telling my community to do the same, because this rewires your brain. When you're listening to these things, like, you create your own reality, you create your destiny, and this is even going on in the background, it enters your subconscious and you actually start believing, okay, I do create my own reality. And I think what you have done is you have thought, okay, what do I want my life to look like a year from now? Mm-hmm. And you're visualizing that. And so you're not stuck in this victim place. And I think this goes for anyone who wants to do any type of reinvention or change or transformation. It's like, don't focus on where you're at right now. Focus on the woman that you want to become.
Yeah. I mean, and just at least your tomorrow self.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're in that grief, like, it's so hard to, I mean, for me, when losing, like, I didn't know what my next year was going to look like. 5 years, I still don't know what it's all going to look like. But if I could just know what I wanted tomorrow to look like, that was just the one step. Mm-hmm. You just need to know what you want your tomorrow self to look like. So when you're like desperate and grieving and sad and you're downing that bottle of wine, well, your tomorrow self is not going to really love it. You know, yeah. So who do you want to be tomorrow? And so when you think about the 5 a.m. getting up, when you lose someone, you realize, I'm doing this because I get to. I'm here. Why am I? I started cold plunging with something I would never do. Mike would do it all the time. And he'd be like, why are you doing this for me? I'm like, forget it. Like, it's way too hard. Yeah. But I started to do all those things. Like, and even this bodybuilding competition, he would have loved to see me do a competition. You know, we were super into fitness together. He was my coach. He would have loved nothing more than to coach me to my own show. I feel disappointed that I didn't give him that opportunity back then when I could have. And this also is a lesson. Do it while you have the chance. Why? Because you get to. He doesn't get to anymore. He doesn't get to wake up. He doesn't get to cold plunge. He doesn't get to journal and work out and be on stage. But I can, and I can do it for him to honor that. So because I'm here, why wouldn't I take my life fully in my hands and do all the things that we think are hard, but it's only a perception of hard.
Yeah.
You know, we get to choose our hard, and there, everything in life can be hard if we let it.
Yeah.
But if we don't do the hard things, then life is always going to be hard. But if we do it, then life can be beautiful and easier.
And that's just, it's one of your quotes, tough times don't last, but tough people do.
Yeah. You really can get through anything, and even just the way you perceive something hard. Okay, yeah, this sucks. This is shitty. This is so hard. What can I do with this?
Yeah.
You know, how can I, not to say that we're not processing it, because there's a whole lot of processing and confronting that needs to happen. You need to sit with the uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
You need to embrace it. You need to feel it. And you need to just bring it in as part of you. You know, I think so many people look at their divorce and their, you know, loss of someone, that they're going to win it. If I just really, you know, rise up and work really hard and get a new partner and put my body in shape and, like, you know, make them wish they never left me, I'm going to win. But you can't win this. You know, it's bigger than us.
Yeah.
You have to feel through it and allow that grief, that pain, that loss to help you create who you want to be tomorrow. But in a loving way, you know, we can see so many people get really hard when it comes to divorce, when it comes to loss, when it comes to anything that's hard. And that's just our ego protecting ourselves. Mm-hmm. I don't want any more of this. I'm going to harden my heart because, you know, the world is doing bad things to me. Whereas what about looking at it like, wow, everything in life is so menial and insignificant compared to human life. And I think for me, that's what happened, as I looked at, oh my God, my financial world or my business or my friendships or whatever, like, none of it matters.
Yeah.
When you lose a human life, it's like everything is into perspective and everything else is just, over. Like I stopped carrying resentment towards my ex-husband. I was like, well, at least he's alive to be here for my kids.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of what we have going on and how we're not connected, you're at least here.
Yes.
You know, on this planet. And it's just, you let go of all that bullshit.
The bullshit. And it's like a whole new level of gratitude. And I even felt that with Mike, the losing of Mike, you know?
Yeah.
And really, he was really just my neighbor, you know? I feel close to him because of you. But I felt like, oh my gosh, you know, here he was just a few days ago washing his car and I'm chatting to him and now he's gone.
I know.
And I still think about it and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, everything I have, Shelby's healthy, I'm healthy. That's all truly that matters. I want to talk about your body because you walked in today and I'm like, holy shit, Cindy, like you are 48 years old.
Yeah.
And this is the best shape you have ever been in your life. And here also, again, this could be, and you very vulnerably have shared, okay, some nights I've downed a bottle of wine and I sat, you know, in tears, which is beautiful that you can share that and normalize it because, you know, if that's what you need to do in the moment, that's okay. And there's no shame or guilt. But you have actually taken this opportunity to enter a bodybuilding competition and get in the best freaking shape of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know what? I think, and you can attest to this too, when you're in a really hard place emotionally, there's nothing that is going to help you through that better than being healthy in your body. You know, like in terms of putting the good things in,
yeah,
getting the exercise and not over-exercising. I think sometimes we can be in this place of overall body stress and grief and loss and despair. And then we exercise really hard because we think we want to get into a better mindset. You have to kind of do it gently, but you still got to move because that's the part that's going to help your body stabilize. And all that cortisol and stress needs to come down to baseline. So I think if you're going through something hard, you got to take care of yourself. I know that immediately we don't want to. Immediately people stop eating or we start drinking too much or we start eating the wrong things. We start staying up too late or not getting enough sleep or going out and socializing. And yeah, I get that piece to just kind of deal with it in the moment. But if you want to, if you're finding you're struggling with continuing and you don't know how you're going to get out of this, taking care of your body is going to be the first step. And so for me, I looked at it as, well, this was my chance. I mean, I've always taken care of my body and my nutrition has always been a thing for me. I mean, you know that. And this was just sort of the time of like, why couldn't I do that? Why can't I be in the best shape of my life at 48? Yes, I'm getting older. Yes, my hormones are, you know, doing hormone replacement. I'm getting that all sorted. But why can't I do this?
Yeah.
Like I only have this one life. And there is truly also so much, I don't know, I guess this was also part of the grieving of losing Mike, is I didn't do the path of bodybuilding because I have suffered from bulimia for 15 years.
Yeah.
I had an eating disorder. It ended magically and ironically, not so ironically, when I left my marriage. It was almost like when I was out of that relationship, I was finally able to control myself and didn't have to let that control me anymore. And so it was almost like it released itself.
Wow.
You know? And so I was always worried before that if I went down that path and I would re-trigger those old, you know, mindset and those habits that were really unhealthy, because it can do that. You know, you're starting to look at your body, you're seeing that it's losing weight, you're liking how it sees, but it's not necessarily sustainable, right, on a regular day. And getting on that scale was something I would never do. I mean, you could ask Mike and he'd be like, she's never getting on the scale and I'm going to have to know what you weigh to help your program. But I was terrified.
Wow.
I mean, so terrified even when I was pregnant, I would get on the scale backwards and have the doctor not tell me how much I weighed because I was so terrified. That number just played with my mind. And when he died and I decided that I was going to do this competition, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to embrace it. This is a means to a goal. This is not my worth. So yeah. I'm going to just get on it and do what I have to do. It's part of the process. And what I've learned from that is that it's kind of funny, but literally my weight has probably not been the same 2 days in a row at all, like since the beginning. And I'm like, oh, why
this
am
is
I
why
so stressed?
We do not weigh ourselves every day. Side know? Note. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm up two. Oh, I'm down two. I'm here. Yeah. It literally means nothing.
It means nothing. It's just, yeah. There's so much we could say about the scale, but what I love about this is you are 48 and you are in the best shape of your life and you're using your nutrition and your fitness to heal. Mm-hmm. And it is healing you.
Yeah.
And I remember going through my divorce and all of my friends would go out, for drinks and they're like, have a glass of wine. I'm like, no, I'm getting a hot water and lemon. Why? Because I'm so scared of what that alcohol is going to do to my nervous system. And that's when I like plunged into looking after myself on a whole new level because I was so afraid of falling apart physically mm-hmm. And emotionally if I didn't. And I remember even like a couple months after Mike passed, you messaged me, you were away on holiday. I'm like, what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. And you're like, just fill my fridge with detox foods on your detox program, Simone. I want to do your 13-day detox when I get back. And I was so impressed with you because you intuitively knew that you needed to look after your health at such a hard time.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, I had let myself go to the depths of despair. Yeah. You know, I had to let myself, you know, drink myself into a stupor for a number of days, which, you know, I realized this was just how I needed to cope and numb. And then it's time. You know, it wasn't for very long, but I just knew it was time because I didn't like how that felt. Because I think that people realize that when they use a coping mechanism like drinking or anything like that, it actually makes you worse. Like
it was
making me cry even more.
Yeah, of
course. I'm like, I don't want to be crying like this. Every single day, I need to get myself back in order so I can also be here to take care of my kids.
Yeah.
I still have kids in this. It's one thing for them to see you grieving. I get it. They need to. But how long are you going to stay there? And some people stay there longer and it's okay. Or the journey out, you know, is slower. But for me, I just knew that I needed to be strong. I needed to come back. And I also, you know, I didn't want Mike's spirit, it might sound silly, but I didn't want him to be disappointed, you know, because all the work that we had done together, how, you know, how my relationship with alcohol had completely changed while I was with him.
Yeah.
I didn't want all that to come back, you know.
Like I think he'd be so proud. I mean, his mission was to help people up-level their health.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you've been focusing on. And I think the big message here is for anyone listening who's struggling, this is maybe your opportunity to turn into those healthy mechanisms to really help you heal and transform.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got one more question for you. What is one thing that you would say someone could do to level up?
Oh, to level up? Oh my gosh, there's so many things you can do. I mean, for your own health, I mean, leveling up, I think it does start with taking care of your mind and your body and your spirit. Yeah. And so, you know, take care of your body, take care of your mind, do the therapy.
Yeah.
Do it. Because to me, therapy is not, when does it end? Like I lost someone or I'm going through a divorce or I want to level up my life. So I'm going to start therapy and I'm hoping to get to my goal in like 6 months. I'll do this for 6 months. I think that we have to make it a part of our lifestyle, just like eating well, just like eating at all, you know, like this is part of our daily routine. Yeah. Working on yourself is not a means to an end. There's no destination, but it's every single day that you're doing this. And I hope that I had someone say that to me the other day. They're like, well, you've been through this. Like it's been 6 years. Like when does therapy stop or working on yourself stop? I'm like, I hope it never does because it's the commitment that I've made to myself to not be where I was, but to be where I want to be. And whether that's just be who I want to be tomorrow, you know, is part of the growth. Do the work, lean into who you are and be okay to get really uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to change you. That's what's going to actually take you to the level that you want to be, but you don't know how to get there. And that breakthrough piece comes from you getting really uncomfortable about doing the work and where you're at.
I remember going through my divorce, and that was the hardest part. I couldn't sit still for the first few months. I just had to get out of the house because I didn't want to think about it. And my therapist kept saying, when you're ready, let's try and sit in this discomfort. And it was so hard for me to sit on the couch and actually feel it.
Yeah.
But I forced myself to do it. And pretty soon I actually started to really enjoy like sitting in it and feeling it and thinking about it and processing it, because I started to feel the healing happen. And it's really funny, Cindy, because right now, you know, I'm dating. And when I meet someone, that is a prerequisite. I want them to be doing work, some type of healing and growing in their own life. And there's one guy that I met recently, and he's phenomenal on every level, but he hasn't actually had any hardship in his life.
Mm.
Nothing. Life has just always been easy. It's a bit of a red flag. Exactly. And also, there's just, it's hard to have a deeper connection because he hasn't like gone through something hard and like really grown and healed from that, right?
Yeah,
and
like how do you know what pain feels like?
Yeah.
On that level. I mean, everyone does have pain, but I completely agree with you. I think like the work on yourself is so important. And you know, I look at myself, even the way that I was with Mike, and I felt like we were doing relationships great. We were learning and growing, and I felt like I was such a better version of myself.
Yeah.
I had to also grieve the loss of that version. Like that person that he knew is not the person that I am now.
Crazy. 10 months later.
Yeah.
How amazing that you have transformed and reinvented yourself 10 months through the hardest period of your life.
And I look at my next partner, I'm like, damn, you're going to be one lucky guy to be this version.
Oh,
this is even better than the last one.
And this body. Like, you're going to have no problem when you're ready to date. Oh, my God.
Seriously, though.
But it's true. It's true. It's just, oh, my gosh, we could talk forever. I actually do want to do a part two with you. And I want to talk about divorce in that one. And I want to talk about what started, because I know you've shared recently, like, there was a story, and we won't share it today, but like what actually caused you to become a divorce coach and help people in this profound way. And I want to talk about divorce because I feel like there's a part two here.
Yeah.
Are you coming back?
Oh, I'd love to come back.
Okay.
And you know, just one last thing I want to say for your listeners, because I think they can get really overwhelmed with like, how do I level up my life? And it seems like it's just this big, huge task, but it's literally what you said, like just force yourself to do the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one thing that you can do today that doesn't matter what it looks like in 5 or 10 years, but that's going to help your tomorrow self. And it could be just something really small, but it's in those moments that we start to allow ourselves to push. Then we start leveling ourselves up, because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun, but it can just be really manageable. And if for you, like you're overwhelmed and you don't know how to do something and you're so stuck and you've got a million things on your list, just do one of those things.
Yeah.
That's it. One today.
Just one. Of those things. And it could be literally just drinking more water. It could be going for a walk.
One thing.
One thing. I love that. And Cindy, to close up, I want to let everybody know that you are graciously going to be gifting everyone listening your quiz. And I love this quiz. It is relationship inventory. Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good quiz to, if you're on the fence or you're wondering, like, is my relationship run its course? It's a good little quiz to sort of see where you're at and to where the holes might be.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited. I'm going to put that in the show notes, and you guys can follow Cindy on Instagram, Cindy Stibbard.
Cindy.Stibbard.
Yeah. Cindy.Stibbard. And I'm going to put that all in the show notes, as well as access to her website as well. So you can reach out to her there. But I'm so excited already about part two. Thank you so much for being here. I know this was like a heavy, hard conversation, but I'm so glad. I had chills literally the whole time. And I feel like Mike was with us the entire time.
He always is. I'm always happy to talk about it. You know, it's a beautiful time in my life that I never want it to go away. I never want the grieving to leave, because I feel like it's also allows me to remember how deeply I love and how deeply I have been loved.
That's beautiful. Beautiful way to look at it.
Want more? Be sure to connect with me on Instagram at Simone N. Lovell, where I share daily lifestyle tips, recipes, workouts, and stuff that is going to make life a little more awesome.